So let us continue the song of Neter Nefer Emahi in our hearts. Let us stay in that state of heart as it began all the way back in our journey, all the way back from Mount Sinai to Giza, to the Upper Nile, to the Lower Nile, all through the pyramids and the temples and the shrines and the people of the land and the love that we have been shown and the love that we have been receiving from those that living around us and from the ancients journeying with us, from those who served us in the hotels and the boats, of our guides, of our bus drivers. Everywhere we went, there was love. And now we're journeying back to Luxor from our last temple visit on the Nile, Abydos, the most ancient temple in Egypt, witnessing again the sacredness, the elegance, the beauty, the love that the ancients had for their gods, for those who taught them, for the love they felt from them, and the love that they gave back to them, a two-way communication. Breathe slowly, deeply into your hearts. Expand it even more. Go to that place that has no beginning and no end, that is always in a circle, always in a circle of love, beyond love, beyond love, always in a journey, just like the Nile we are on now. I'd like to ask you for just a moment to gently open your eyes and look at the person next to you directly into their eyes. Let the face fade, and for just a moment, connect through the eyes to the soul. Connect through the eyes to the soul. For this soul has been with you on many other journeys. If in other lifetimes, or if not even on earth, we all know each other on a soul level. Let your gentle eyes speak to one another from one soul, one consciousness to another. Feel the timelessness of who you are. In the confluence of energies that you are creating now with each other, from the heart, from the love, from the compassion, from the light, from your divinity, from your magnificence, from your sacredness, from your infinite being that has no beginning, that has no end. In your I am, that I am, you are connected. You are in oneness. You are in beingness. You are the love. You are the light. You are the God that you are searching for. All is within you, and all is around you. And gently close your eyes again and feel deeper the connection to this entire group and the ship. For the ship itself also has a consciousness. Just like the Nile, just like everything around you. Breathe. Expand even more. Can you hear and feel and smell the Nile? Can you feel it as one with you now? As one, more than two-way communication, as one love, as one love, as one love.
So it is good day to you, huh? We are honored by you. Breathe into the light that you are. You are the Nile. You are the land. You are the sand. You are the trees. You are the mountains. You are the life of all. You are here by divine appointment. We are grateful you said yes to this appointment. We are all here with you. We know you have met many on our council now. There will be more to come. As you honor those, you know you have a path of energy. You know you have a path to walk upon, even though the sand may get in your tennies. That sand carries with it the grains of the ancients that are now a part of your soul. The grains of the ancient that moves through you in love, in benevolence, in sweetness, in strength, in power, in the discovery of who you are. This entire group, Kryon, Elon, Saeed, Omar, Hisham, Amr, have brought you this experience for your soul. Monica, Connie, the joy, each have brought this experience in the connection of you. But if you were not here, it would not be the same. It began thousands of years ago as you brought yourself through the times, the dimensional realms, the beings of light that you are christening the new world that is here. The world that is expanding in peace, the world that is expanding in love, the world that is expanding in truth, the world that is expanding in clarity, the world that could not make up shaking the hand of the ministries of antiquities. It could not make up the synchronicities of watching your path unfold before you. So allow your mind to rest. Allow your mind to evolve into a wisdom of nothingness. And allow yourself to listen from your heart only. Please take a deep breath. Signaka olakumakia Oshumaka Alek Nahenokuma Aishioma Alekania Oa Inakenuma Uzumatika Numakanika Anakuma Aishio 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 Adonai. Dearly beloveds, through your own heart comes the message of your soul to bring forth this wisdom that you need, that you have, that you hold, to know that you are here for this divine purpose, maybe to write, maybe to sing, maybe to dance, maybe to play, maybe to just be. In that wisdom and clarity, your beingness, dearest beloveds, is shifting the consciousness of this planet. You are me. I am you, in love, with love, through love, and God, the source, is all together. Your joy as you experience the love of these children as they wave to you, the music, the dance of your soul. Dearest beings of light, I ask you to take this energy home and stand strong in your faith, stand strong in your practice, stand strong in your presence. You each have a mission and a purpose. And we ask you to step up to the plate. Step forward. Step into your task. And know that the softness of your heart will be made manifest for all to experience. And dearest beloveds, we are grateful for you. We are grateful that you said yes to you. We are grateful that you made the task to the top of the mountain, or made the task to your room. Sometimes it was the same, eh? Sometimes, even the smallest of steps is the giant one that takes the grain of sand into your heart to remember who you were and to be who you are now. We love you dearly. We see who you are. We see your heart, your light, your soul, your wisdom, your clarity, your doubt, your wondering, your understanding, your asking for confirmation. We see you do the dance. We see you want to do the dance. We ask you to have the courage to dance with your soul. For that is where the joy comes from. We honor you. We love you. We bid you namaste.
Greetings, dear ones. I'm Kryon of Magnetic Service. We are close to the end of the journey. We find ourselves on the top of a ship, cruising the Nile on the way to Luxor, and the sun is going down. We have a light breeze blowing, and we're comfortable. I want to give a message that sounds like one that I might have given before, but it isn't. Not really. As time marches forward, this planet of yours begins to shift, consciousness changes, and even some of those things you never thought could change are beginning to. We've said this before, that an older consciousness of this planet has always been linear. It's a way of thinking, dear ones, that remains the same and turns back upon itself. It's a way of thinking that is in a circle or maybe even a box that causes history to repeat itself and the same mistakes to be made again and again. And so I want to talk about that. I've talked in the past about the boxes of belief, and I want to extend that and continue that. But we are in Egypt. So I'm going to ask you a question, and the answer may surprise you. For these weeks we have been together in all the temples we have seen. You might say it's been amazing to see the history of Egypt. And I will tell you this, well, you really didn't. Were you aware that today's visit of Abydos, the oldest Egyptian temple yet found, is the only one that contains history? It is the only one to tell about the lineage of time and pharaohs, and none of the others do. You have visited temple after temple after temple, and they don't give you the history. The guides do. The only thing you see on the walls and the hieroglyphs, the only thing you see is about the belief they had. And the belief they had, dear ones, was that they were only here for a little while. It's about guidance to the afterlife. That's what it's about. They speak of a benevolent God, open to everyone. Temple after temple. Think about it. Where did you see history? Where did you see the names of the battles that they won or they lost? Where did you hear about the flooding on the Nile that always occurred? Or perhaps there was a plague or two. None of that was ever given. It is not on the walls. The only thing that is on the walls is instructions to the afterlife. Picture after picture of those gods that represent the creative source, all of them participating in one idea, that all Egyptians are included in the afterlife, and here are the instructions on how to get there. That's what you saw. This becomes then a box. Very early on, thousands and thousands of years ago, Egypt was defined by their belief system. And you can see it. All of the ancients, all of the writing, that's what it's about. Now, they're not alone, dear ones. For culture after culture, young, ancient, old, define themselves by their belief system, not by their borders or their names or their countries. As far back as you can go, they each have something that links them to that which is beyond. And you start asking some of those in their belief systems, and it sounds so similar. If you were asking a priest here, what's it all about? And he would say it is about us preparing for something beautiful and benevolent and doing the best we can to center ourselves until we reach that place that is the afterlife. And that was the concentration. All of the metaphors of the river that you're cruising on right now is the life of Upper and Lower Egypt on the way to the afterlife. Today, if you ask an Israeli, what is the most profound thing you have? And the Israeli may put their hand on their heart and they would say, when I go to the temple of King David, where he was buried, he said, there's nothing like that. He showed us the one God and the way to the afterlife. You see, the Israelis are filled with the lineage. That is their preciousness. That is the gold for them. It's the lineage. And it's all about getting to another place, dear ones. If you ask a Navajo right now, today, what are you about? What are you about? And they will immediately bring up their ancestors and they say, there is the lineage of the Navajo. And they would say, this is our belief, and they are the ones that help us to the next life. If you ask a Muslim, tell me about the great Prophet Muhammad, they may put their hand on their heart and say, this is the one that over 1 billion people on this planet believe is the one to lead us to the afterlife. The one that shows us how to live and pray. Is this sounding familiar? Belief after belief after belief sounds almost like the same box with different names. Ask a Christian about the Christ and they will put their hand on their heart and they'll say, this is the prophet that is our salvation and showed us how to get to the afterlife. Box after box, this planet is not defined by countries and borders. It's defined by belief. A fifth of the world's population is Hindu. And if you ask them, they will put their hand on their heart and they say, it's the oneness of all things. It's the nirvana. It's the clearing of the karma so that in the afterlife we'll be clean. If you ask a Buddha, they'll put their hand on their heart and repeat the same thing. Box after box after box. You have an earth, dear ones, that is spiritual. You may not think of it this way, for some of you come from countries where there's an amalgamation of beliefs. But even in that, there are churches with spires that stick to the sky wherever you go to remind you about the belief that is there. Oh, it may be varied, but it's a box, and it's strong. So even in these countries, it's not about your provinces or your states or your borders. It's about belief. It always has been. What's going to happen? Because, dear ones, it gets harder from here. Let me start asking some questions. Today, in these boxes of belief, boxes that are very strict one with another, some boxes say, we are the only box, and all of the other ones have it wrong. Oh, same God, but you have it wrong. Box after box fighting with each other. If you take a look at the wars of this planet and the ancients, what were they about? They were about the boxes, weren't they? When you take a look at the conquerors, quite often they're identified by the box, by the belief. What's going to happen? Let me ask you this. Do all Christians get along? And you will say, well, what has happened over the years is now there's over 300 sects of Christianity and they don't get along. They point to the other boxes within their own box and say they have it wrong. Let me ask you, do all Muslims get along? And the answer is no. Do all Israelis get along? No. Do all Buddhists who believe in oneness get along? And the answer is no. In every single box that still exists, that is alive with a belief system, it has fractured itself. And there are multiple boxes within boxes within boxes. And so the next question is this. What happens next? Does this planet continue to fracture into more boxes that disagree? And if so, what is the ultimate product of that? And the answer will always be this: war. And there are so many who will say, it's inevitable, and this is why. Cryon, you have pegged it, and this is why. Because we can't get along in our boxes. That's one opinion. The second opinion, it comes from those who will say, well, human nature shows that it's not going to get any better. That we will struggle and struggle and struggle. And they will say human nature shows that there are no solutions and there never have been. And we continue to do irrational things like war with each other, pick up the pieces, rest, and then war with each other, pick up the pieces, rest, and war. There's a third opinion, dear ones, and it comes from high consciousness and naivety. And it says that someday all will be one. And there will be one belief system. There will be a great aha where everyone drops the boxes and believes the same thing. That's not going to happen, dear ones. Never. Where is this going? What could be a future of this planet? With all of this before us. And isn't it absurd, you might say, that we are arguing over the most loving source, creative love, compassion in the universe. And we're killing each other because one person doesn't do it right. Absurd. And now the answer, it is absurd because the consciousness of this planet has always been low. Human nature has always been in the dark. Human nature is so dysfunctional. It never learns from generation to generation, from lifetime to lifetime. You come in, you forget, and you do it again. And you come in, and you forget, and you do it again. And suddenly, there's a change on the planet. Have we mentioned that even the ancients for thousands of years, writing it on the walls, said that something would happen at the precession of the equinoxes, and that if this humanism was still here on the planet, it would shift. Perhaps some of you know it as the Mayan calendar, but others of you know it as the journey of the feathered serpent. Perhaps some of you would know it as the awakening of the puma. There are so many names given to these things. The joining of the eagle and the condor. It's everywhere. Start doing your research to see what the ancients have said, not the scriptures that you've been given recently. I'm talking about the ancients and what they said. You are sitting in a cauldron of energy you didn't expect, where dark things are starting to pop out of the walls, seemingly, and show themselves when they never did before. Never did before. Inappropriatenesses are starting to be shown and told, and it's in your media. It's not a spiritual revolution. It's consciousness. It's respect. Did you notice? This is the beginning of a change of human nature. When human nature starts to change, the boxes start to move. And this is what I want to talk about right now. I'll give you another scenario. It's the big T word. Tolerance. I want to paint a picture, and you're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe this. You're going to laugh, crying you've gone too far. I want to take you into the future. I want to take you to a world, a planet called Earth. Generations and generations from now. It's at peace, dear ones, and has been for a long time. But in honor of this country, I'm going to take you to a place called Mecca. There is a celebration going on, just like there has been for hundreds of years, and millions are coming. They're streaming from all over. Billions would love to be there, and only millions can attend. And you've seen this picture before. This is generations from now, and it's different. It's different. And they're all there, and they're all meeting for the reasons they do. In honor of their prophet and their traditions. And then everything stops. Everything stops, and there's silence. And they make a parting of the ways, and in comes an entourage. And you say, who is this making their way to a special stage? A special stage in an appropriate area that doesn't violate any protocol. A whole group of individuals. And then you realize who they are. It's the Israeli contingent. And they take and they mount the stage. And they sing a song of celebration in honoring of their brothers, the Muslims. You think nothing of thinking of singing happy birthday when it's not your birthday to somebody whose birthday it is. Today there's two of you, and you sing and you enjoy it. It's not your birthday, but you sing it because you're proud of them. Do you understand this? What if you were to extend that simple idea to the boxes? The boxes will remain, dear ones. But what the difference is they not only will tolerate one another, they will see that which is appropriate. It's okay for cultures to have traditions and prophets because it all leads to the same place. And the Israelis are singing to the Muslims in their own way and their own songs. And the Muslims are sitting there with their hands in their hearts saying, thank you, brother, thank you. And when the Israelis are done, they get off the stage and the Christians do it. And you think that is a fantasy? You wait. The dissolution of the boxes will never happen. The boxes become circles, and they become wonderful, wonderful circles of light and life that intertwine in appreciation and singing that says, I see you and I see your faith. Isn't it great? We have the same God. Now go do your own thing, and I'll do mine. Perhaps it's not your faith, and you hear the prayers going off right now at the appropriate time, and you might see a Muslim on a rug in prayer facing the right direction. What is your reaction? What is your reaction? I want you to take just a moment. When you see that, and put your hand on your heart and say, thank you, brother, for your dedication to the same God that I love and you love. What a concept! That is where this planet can head. You're starting to see it in such small ways as you come out of a darkness called old human nature. Is it possible? I'll tell you, that's peace on earth. It's not what's going to happen from one country to another. It just isn't. It's what's going to happen with one belief system to another. That will create the peace that you're after. And all things will be added to it. And that's to say that peace on earth between countries must start with the belief systems. That's what the ancients here showed you. That's all they cared about. Not history. But that you would see the light that they saw. Go from this place hopeful. And knowing that you're alive at a very auspicious time, a beautiful time, history will remember you, Lightworker. And so it is.